Okay, so this is a timer. Do you know what this means? The answer is nothing. So, all right, I'm going to start it anyway, but Mitch and Donna are my timers, and so when I have 5 minutes left, they're going to hold up their hand and let me know. Let me start with this statement. Our serving in this life determines our shining in the next life. Our serving determines our shining. And there is a verse in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, that says this: those who have insight, those whose eyes God has opened to the reality of salvation, will shine like the expanse of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now that's a heavy thought. And this is Daniel talking about the last days, and particularly those redeemed saints during the millennial kingdom. But it is true of us that our serving determines our shining, and what we do here for the glory of God will determine how much glory we shine with in all of eternity. And there are no do-overs. There are no do-overs. And so when I wake up in the morning, as I've told you, all I am for all you are for all my days. And that's it. All I am, spirit, soul, and body, for all you are, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, for all my days, hours, and minutes. But you should mark Daniel 12:3. You should mark, unless you have a Bible that it's already highlighted in, okay, you should mark that, okay? And the way you do it is this. You start with the yellow. Try it again. Tell me that. It's already down 45 minutes. Testing 1, 2. Any better? Can we do that? Would you, if it happens again, let me know?
It looks like it's pointed towards
Thank you. Okay. You want to try that? Thank you, sir. Testing 1, 2. Where were we? Yes, marking your Bible. Someone asked me one time, what's your process on marking your Bible? And I was very simple. I said, I start with light. And when I come back to it again, and I know God speaks to me, I get something a little bit darker. And then finally, when the third time, I mark it with something even darker. And when I can't read it anymore, I say, Sharon, I need a new Bible. I have close to 80, I'm just saying. I have close to 80. But anyway, there are those Bibles that I use regularly. This is a series on those who understood that service is for now. They were all in. And last week, we looked at Test. Anybody know who we looked at? Catherine Von Bora. Today, Hudson Taylor. Wow. Next week, Frances Havergal, the Fanny Crosby of England. The book that we're using is called 50 People Every, I circled it, Every Christian Should Know, which means you should have that. And then we have this verse in 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul, he says this: imitate me. Here's another one to mark. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. In Romans chapter 1, where Paul speaks about his conversion to the church at Rome, He says that God separated him from his mother's womb and called me by his grace. We have his conversion on the Damascus Road. But this is the one who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee, highly respected, and was compelled to persecute Christians. To eradicate them was Saul's desire. God got a hold of his heart, and he surrendered all. He surrendered all. And these words from Romans chapter 1 says this about the apostle. For Paul, no tantalizing horizons beckoned, no long-cherished dreams drew him on. He was a one-goal man with fierce intensity and unshakable determination. He knew himself to be a man fashioned by God for a task formidable in the extreme, yet glorious in its purpose. Do you realize that's true of you? That the task that God has before you is a task formidable in the extreme, which simply means you can't do it in your own strength. And that is what changed the ministry of Hudson Taylor. But I want you to understand this statement that I read to David yesterday. And it is this: every step of your journey to saving faith was under God's sovereign control. Isn't that beautiful? Every step of your journey to saving faith was under God's sovereign control. You can run, but you can't hide. And when you surrender to God, as Hudson Taylor did, what God does through one human life redeemed by the blood of Christ is infinitely beyond our hopes or dreams. When you surrender your life to God and when you say to Him, all I am for all you are for all my days, it's as if the Holy Spirit rolls up His sleeves and says, fasten your seatbelt. And here we go. And so we have, if you have the slides up there for Hudson Taylor, we have Hudson Taylor on the mission field for many years. We do have it. We have Hudson Taylor on the mission field for many, many years, and he's visiting Australia. And the person that introduces this great, great missionary wants to wax eloquent. And so he says, as he introduces Hudson Taylor, he says, I want to introduce to you our illustrious guest. Without a hitch, Hudson Taylor knew who he was and whose he was and what he was. And Hudson Taylor said, dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master. Ephesians 3:8, unto me, Paul said, who am the less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He had a perspective of himself that he was less than the least of all the saints. And he said this in his ministry. He said, all God's giants have been weak men. That means a lot to me at 71. It means more to me now than it's ever meant before. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things because, listen, they reckoned on God being with them. And if you were to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, his swan song, his last epistle, we find the Apostle Paul giving a testimony, and he says, when I stood before the king, and there are three times in Acts where he gives his testimony before high officials, kings, but this time in Acts, he says this, he says, all men forsook me, because they knew the cost of standing on Paul's side. It would perhaps cost them their lives. But he says this, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message would be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles would hear. And God will save me from every evil work and preserve me unto his glorious kingdom. And he adds, I was delivered from the mouth of the lion. That may mean Nero, that may mean Satan, but all we know is that God delivered him. So if you think of that, and you know that you have all the strength you will ever need for everything that God calls you to do, that God is going to protect you, surround you, and preserve you, and not a hair on your head will be harmed, right? And that he will protect you until he leads you into his glorious kingdom, then let me just put this to you. What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? Or you can just not believe God and live in doubt and discouragement and despair. God doesn't want you there. And so we have this man, Hudson Taylor, and he says, lack of trust is at the root of almost all of our sins and weaknesses. Lack of trust. How shall we escape it but by looking to the God and observing his faithfulness? We're going to come back to that. The man and woman who holds God's faithfulness will not be foolhardy or reckless, but it'll be ready for every emergency. And what does Galatians 2:20 say? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. I think we are involved in something infinitely greater than we could ever dream. But when faith lays hold of the fact that it is the faithfulness of God that will enable us to stand before him one day and hear him say, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Because I depended on the faithfulness of God to be who he says he is, to do what he says he will do in my life, every moment of every hour of every day. When Hudson Taylor was 4 or 5 years old, so do not doubt God's ability to speak into the life of a child. I've been teaching him now for over 4 decades. I don't discount when children come to me and say, I believe God wants me to do this. Okay? Because if he's 4 or 5 years old, he said, when I'm a man, I mean to be a missionary to go to China. How did he know that? I believe the Spirit of God spoke that into his little tiny beating heart at 4 or 5 years old. We have a camp this week. Do you know what God's going to do? He's going to speak. He's going to speak truth into the lives of these kids, and he's going to prepare them for lives that bring him the greatest amount of possible glory. We are simply vessels. We are instruments, but God is the one who is doing this work. But he was only 4 or 5 when that happened, and he was saved at the age of 19. Every step of your journey to saving faith was under God's sovereign control. Every step. I could say I wish I were saved at 9 rather than 19. But I understand that God doesn't waste a thing. And there are no whoops with God. There's no oops with God. And God is sovereignly working, bringing each one of his elect to himself in his way, in his time, for his glory. That's an amen. And that is what God is doing. So for those of you that are praying for lost loved ones, I just want to give you hope. I want to give you hope. I speak to both of mine, still wandering. But I want you to know, God is at work. He wastes nothing. He's saved at 19, but the trials, the temptations of youth, and the tuggings, what? Do you see this? The tuggings of the Holy Spirit on his heart. Emily follows my Facebook posts. Emily listens to the songs I sing on Facebook. And she responds. I talk to David. And I say, David, you're where you are because God is working out his plan in your life. I just want you to know that God is sovereign. He's going to get glory. And those that we have prayed for will be saved. And not only that, God will glorify himself in that salvation. Do you see Hudson Taylor over here? He's the guy on the front row with the big beard. Does that remind you of one of our missionaries we have over in, is it Singapore? Who is that? At least we know of him. But anyway, Hudson Taylor got in big trouble for doing that because he was from England. You know that, don't you? And in England, everyone's prim and proper. And when he comes over, he notices that the Chinese people aren't listening to him. You know why? He doesn't look like them. Paul said, I become all things, what? To all men, that I might save some. He says, you know what? I'm going to dress just like them. And when he did that, that began to open the door to them receiving the message. I become all things to all men. So how about his conversion? It's a beautiful story. His mother leaves him home. She travels a few hundred miles away. She's impressed by the Spirit to leave the table, to go into her room, to lock the door, and to pray for hours until she sensed in her heart that Hudson had trusted Christ. I don't know what to say about a mother's love. Dads were okay. But there's just something about a mother's love. And she poured out her heart for Hudson until she sensed a peace. God said, done. I heard you. Back home, back at the ranch, Hudson Taylor finds a track in his father's library. And he's reading this track, and he comes to these words while he was reading it, this phrase, the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. And immediately the words of Scripture leaped into his mind when Christ cried out in John chapter 19. What did he cry out? It is finished. What does that mean in the Greek? Paid in full. Stamped on a document when the final installment is made and it is now yours. Well, Jesus Christ, when he said that, guaranteed that we're his. And I had a friend call me the other day. He said, "Brother, does God forgive all sin?" This is a person who loves the Lord with all of his heart. I said, "Yeah." He said, "But I've used God's name in vain." He said, "Is that an unforgivable sin?" And I said this. I said, "When Jesus Christ died on the cross, for how many of your sins did he die?" And what do you think his answer was?
All.
All. And I said, "When the Spirit convicts you of sin, you confess it." 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But I said, "Dan, that has to do with fellowship, not relationship. There's a difference. We are God's. We're God's children forever and ever. We're sons and daughters. But sin does affect our fellowship with God. And when the Spirit of God convicts us of sin and we cry out and we name it, that is sin. God not only forgives us of that sin, Pastor, I think you mentioned this last week, but he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That means when you deal with the sins you're aware of, God takes care of the ones you're not aware of, which means that you can maintain a perfect, unbroken fellowship with him all your days. We deal with the sins. And as you're talking about sanctification earlier, and we surrender our lives to Christ, God puts his finger on the sin that is hurting us the most, and he deals with that. And we go, whew. And then this one. And then this one. And then this one. And then this one. Until the day when there are no more sins and we're in glory. But this side of heaven, we never arrive. And I've told you this before, but when I travel somewhere in my car and I don't know where I'm going, I use the phone and I do the thing and and this lady talks to me and she says, "Turn here, do a right," Yeah, one time there was a British lady. I don't know what button I hit, but she could pronounce no street names in Charleston, South Carolina. I just want you to know she had no clue, all right? But anyway, we got that fixed, all right? So anyway, but sometimes when I want to go somewhere and I already know where I'm going, I still plug it in. I put it in there and she tells me, when I get there, do you know what she tells me? "You have arrived." That's the only time I hear it, this side of heaven. But we have here Hudson Taylor. And he's reading this finished work of Christ. He falls to his knees. That's conviction. And he yields himself to Christ. And when his mother got back home, she already knew. It's like that little guy at Camp Victory that came to me the first night and said, Desden said, "Man, I don't know what's wrong." He's like this high. He said, "I don't know what's wrong. I don't feel like I want to be saved." I said, "That's fine." I said, "You can't work that up. God has to put that in you. God has to give you the desire to be saved. You can't work that up any more than an apple tree can make apples. God has to do it from the inside." And I prayed for him all week long, and he comes running up to me the last day of camp, Friday morning. He says, "Guess what? Do you think I need to say what?" He said, "I got saved." It's because God put the desire in him. That is the way God works. Yeah. My mother, was as close to perfect as a mother could be this side of heaven. Okay. Cocktail parties, didn't drink, didn't smoke, right? Put up with me, which means she was close to being a saint already. But when two prayer warriors went over to her house after I got saved and began to share the gospel with her, she said, I don't need to be saved. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. But they had her read Romans 10, 1 through 4. It speaks of Israel. But they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And these two ladies said she came out of her chair like a rocket. And she hit the ground on her knees. And she cried out to God for mercy. That's the way it works. And that is what happened to Hudson Taylor. And then this process of God working in us so he can work through us. How many years was Jesus Christ on this earth before he started his ministry? Yeah, 30. You say he needed preparation? Seems so. Before God works through us, he works in us. God has a lot to do with this spiritual wiring, okay? Rewiring of our lives. But God prepares us for what he is preparing for us. Do you understand that? So a person that fails sixth grade and gets expelled from one school in ninth grade and expelled from another school in 12th grade and then gets saved, and God says, I want you to be a teacher. It's like, okay, are you sure about this? Because I hated school. And I told God, as a young Christian, I said, I'm not going to do it unless I can make it fun and kids don't hate school. And God said, have at it. All the preparation of hating school. I thought it was a 12-year sentence. Well, 11 and a half, because I didn't make it through 12th grade all the way. I was close, but you know, gone. Here's your hat. What's your hurry? Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. We are his workmanship. We are his poema. We are his poem. We're his masterpiece. God is building into our lives what he has prepared for us to do from eternity past. We're his poem. Poem is a beautiful thing. Psalm 139, 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. No worries. Just take the next step of what God leads you to do. What God leads you through has purpose. This is what Hudson Taylor said. He said, let people see God working. Let God be glorified. Let believers be made holy or happy or brought nearer to him. We exist as a church to glorify God by bringing sinners to Christ and saints to Christ's likeness. And they will not need to be asked to help. It's like, can I be part of what's going on here? Howard Hendricks, Dallas Theological Seminary, his students said when Howard Hendricks taught, they said, I wanted to beat down the door to serve God. Because he said it in such a way is that if you don't serve God like this, you're missing everything. And one said, I just wanted to beat down the door to get out there and serve God because of Howard Hendricks' teaching. That's what we want here. To accost the pastor at the back door there and said, oh, please. Where can I serve? What can I? I want to be part of what's going on at Charleston Bible Church. God's work, and this is his famous quote, but God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies. As people saw what God was doing in the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor prayed for a missionary in all 20 provinces. He says, God, we have 20 provinces here in China. I need a missionary in every one of them. And then there were a couple islands off the coast, too. God gave 22, a missionary for every province in China and the ones out there off the coast. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He marries Maria Dyer. But I want you to know that we have an enemy, a dark enemy. And missionaries, as well as you and I, get very discouraged. And he was so discouraged at one point in his life, he just said, I can't do this anymore. He was laboring in his own strength. God was using him, but he was at the end of himself. He had Maria. Maria stood between Hudson and suicide. She prayed for him, probably encouraged him. How about Elijah? Calls down fire from heaven. I want some of that. I did that once. At Charleston Christian School. Of course, Rob Mahler was in charge of the pyrotechnics up above. And I had to sacrifice. It was supposed to be a bunch of smoke. I had to sacrifice. It was a pound puppy. Pound puppy. And when the kids saw all the smoke go off and this, you know, I was going to go shh and hide the pound puppy. Sacrifice is gone. I had it all worked out. They had to replace the carpet. At Charleston Christian School. It right now, if you go over there, it is their fellowship building. It's got vinyl floor. It's just like, okay, if Jack comes back. Okay, I'm just saying. And by the way, I am going back to Charleston Christian, so just say that. But don't tell anybody. I don't know who knows. But we're going back there to do some work. But you think of Elijah. God speaks to Elijah through a hurricane and an earthquake and a fire. And he's still back in the cave. And then God says what? Elijah. What did he say? It was God's voice. It didn't matter what he said. It was God's voice. God spoke through all these incredible creative things that he made, but when it was God's voice, he came out to the front of the cave. God wants to speak to us daily. That's why we open the book, right? God, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. Yeah. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. These hymns. Oh, next week, hymns. God speaks to Elijah. Well, God spoke to Hudson Taylor through a letter. Through a letter. On Saturday, September 4th, 1869, Taylor reads in a letter from another missionary, John McCarthy, about the new freedom that had come into McCarthy's life. A faithful missionary, but a new freedom, a second wind, a fresh wind came into McCarthy's life. And how did that happen? The Christian life, he wrote, is, and this is his quote, not a striving to have faith, which is what I told little Destin, but a looking off to the faithful one seems all we need. It's all about focus. See, you got your eyes on yourself. And the longer you look at yourself, the more impossible things are. And the longer you look at yourself, the smaller and more impotent you feel. But he says, arresting in the loved one, Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. Resting in the loved one entirely for time and eternity. Just resting. Say, God, I can't do anything with this. As I tell God, I say to God, this was your idea. Okay? My salvation, my call to teaching, whatever God has done, I said, this was, when I get in tough times, I just say respectfully, okay, this was your idea. You got to do something here. It wasn't my idea, okay? Yeah. You, what did Jesus say? You've not chosen me. I've chosen you that you might go and bear what? Yeah, much. So I said, God, your idea, not mine. You got a plan. I'm yours. Do it. And you know what God does? Yeah. God does what God does. And Hudson Taylor says, as I read, I saw it all. The voice of God speaking into his life, just like Elijah. I looked to Jesus, and when I saw it, the joy flowed. I was like, hey, it's not about me. Where'd I get that idea? It's about God. Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What can God do in your life? Infinitely more than you can list on a piece of paper. Infinitely more. You can fill up a piece of paper with all that you desire God to do in your life, and God says, okay, turn it over, keep writing. What else do you want? I'll do it. Hudson Taylor was the most widely used missionary in China's history. During his 51 years of service there, his China Inland Mission established 20 mission stations, one on each area of the mainland of China, what he prayed for. Brought 849 missionaries to the field, 968 by 1911, trained some 700 Chinese workers, raised $4 million by faith, that's George Mueller's example, and Amy Carmichael, it is enough to ask the Father. It has been said that at least 35,000 were his own converts, that he baptized over his ministry 50,000 Chinese. His gift for inspiring people to give themselves and their possessions to Christ was amazing.
Jack, question. Was China considered a communist country during that period?
I don't know. I'll tell you what. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Good. I can tell you that of these that were saved during this time, you can be sure that there are a lot of believers in China right now. Probably millions upon millions. Yeah. One plants, another waters, but God does what God does. 5 minutes, thank you. By faith, Abel and Hudson Taylor still speak even though they are dead. Yeah. When you and I are gone, our influence will remain. If we say to God, I'm going to trust you to be the faithful God that you were to every saint all the way through time, from the beginning to now. In February 1905, the year my dad was born, interestingly, Taylor sailed from China for China the last time. After a tour of some mission stations, he died on June 3rd at the age of 73. Gives me 2 years. Today, about 1,600 missionaries work for what is now the Overseas Missionary Fellowship International. Its international headquarters in Singapore. The mission statement is simply, we share the good news of Jesus Christ in all its fullness because of all of God's faithfulness with East Asia's people to the glory of God. So, I'm ending with this because it's not true, but this summer, I was the missionary at Camp Victory, okay? I usually speak twice. This was three times, okay? So I told them, I know the missionary, Fred Bennett, can't come. He's ministering to his wife. I said, I'm available. I know you'll get a missionary, but if you want me to share some missionary stories, I will. They said, bring them. We did. So I was the missionary. And I was the Bible teacher for the Victory class, and I was the preacher in the evening. And if they asked me to do three things again, I'd have to talk to God about that. But this was from cabin five, the girls' cabin. Okay? I have hundreds of letters from kids over the years, right? I've got them all, hundreds. 98.7% of them are from girls. And like 0.02 is from guys. It's okay. It's not a problem. But girls are just all heart. Okay? They're all heart. And if you touch a life in a young person, a young lady, they want to let you know. Okay? Guys, you hear that? To Mr. Jack from Cabin 5. Mr. Jack. You are probably the best missionary in the world. I'm glad they said probably. Really, because this would have been overwhelming to me. Love, Cabin 5. Mr. Jack, you are probably the best missionary in the world. Well, can we give that honor perhaps to Hudson Taylor, probably the best missionary in the whole world, but we are on mission. And to the degree that we serve now will be the degree that we shine then.